If you think everything is all of a sudden going to get better by receiving Jesus into your life, you may be sadly disappointed. Here's Dave Rolfe.
We treat Jesus as if he's somebody who's going to fix everything that's wrong with your life. But the trouble is, a lot of times that doesn't happen. But even when it happens, Jesus would just go, don't follow me because of my stuff. Don't follow me because of what, how I bless you. That's not the reason to follow me. You follow me because of who I am. Don't follow me for what you're going to get out of it. And I think we have to remember that a lot of times when we even tell people about accepting Jesus. Oh, your life's really messed up? Come to Jesus, and he's going to fix everything. Sometimes you come to Jesus and things get worse.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Hi there, and again, welcome to The Balanced Word. So good to have you with us. Chapter 6 of John will be the centerpiece of our study time. Imagine hosting a get-together and discover you don't have enough food to go around. That would be quite embarrassing, right? But in our day and age, the problem could probably be solved by making a trip to the grocery store. This luxury wasn't available in the days of Christ, making what we're about to read even more astounding. 5 loaves and 2 fish, perhaps enough to feed a couple of people, but certainly not 12,000, right? Nothing is impossible for God. But Pastor Dave Rolfe believes this was meant to teach the disciples something very important.
So we would look at this day as a major failure. If I, you know, preach today in church, and there's this many people here, and then next Sunday I come and there's nobody here, you know, but staff, and a couple of them called in sick, I'd be like, man, I think I missed the boat. I must have said something that really drove people away. But Jesus had that kind of a day where it's like it's booming and people are following him and they want to make him king. By the end of the 24-hour period, there's just these 12 guys still hanging out. And that's the story, is that how in the world can you go from this to this? Well, there are a few things that we certainly, I think, know. For one thing, this whole day, this whole story was not about people getting fed. This whole story was for the purpose of the disciples. And he said as much in the beginning when he said to Philip, where can we buy bread? And it says he did it to test him, for he knew what he was going to do. He's like, this is ultimately about these guys. It's always about whatever's left. It's not about how big things are in the process of doing what you're doing. It's always about a remnant. It's always about what's left. And I think he was teaching his disciples some lessons. You know, one of the things that becomes really clear is you don't follow Jesus for the benefits, because there are so many fringe benefits to following Jesus. And there are fringe benefits. Sometimes when you follow Jesus, you'll get some free food. Sometimes he'll help your life to kind of turn around. And for most of us, if we've walked with Jesus for a while, I mean, I look at my life and I think how rich I am because of following Jesus. And he's given me people. He's given me my wife and my kids, my grandkids. He's given me friends. I am so much happier today than I ever was on my best day before I accepted Jesus Christ. And he's blessed my life incredibly, but sometimes you can start to think that that's why you come to Jesus. So people think, you know, your life is all messed up with drugs, or you've really messed yourself up in some horrible way, or you don't have anybody to love you, or you have no friends, or you're really sick and you need to be healed. And so we treat Jesus as if he's somebody who's going to fix everything that's wrong with your life. But the trouble is, a lot of times that doesn't happen. But even when it happens, Jesus would just go, don't follow me because of my stuff. Don't follow me because of what, how I bless you. That's not the reason to follow me. You follow me because of who I am. Don't follow me for what you're going to get out of it. And I think we have to remember that a lot of times when we even tell people about accepting Jesus. Oh, your life's really messed up? Come to Jesus, and he's going to fix everything. Sometimes you come to Jesus and things get worse, you know? But he's teaching this, and he seems frustrated with these people because they just want the benefits. And I have to believe that today Jesus is still like, come on. When all of a sudden you don't get what you want, you need me. And then when I come through, woohoo, you're happy. And then when it goes away again, oh no. It's like, oh, we've got a drought in California. Please, God, give us rain. Then he gives us rain, dams are breaking and stuff. We're like, no. Not like that, you know. We're always looking for, like, what's in it for us? And this story lets us know that's definitely not what it's about at all. Thank God for what he does for you, but that's not what it's about. But there's something really important about Jesus we learn from this story, too. He was never motivated by attracting people. Jesus did not care one bit about what can I do that's going to bring in the people? Jesus in one day had a huge crowd and he drove them all away by telling them the truth. And the disciples are like, man, this was a rough day. And Jesus is like, ah, this is a good day. It's fine. I have no problem going from a crowd of thousands to 12 guys who just have no other place to go. I'm okay with that. I think sometimes we can compromise even in the message that we share with people or the way we talk to them about God, because we feel like it's my responsibility to make God look so attractive that I can talk people in to following him. And that's why a lot of times, you know, even in church, we can easily get to where we say things that we know people are going to like, and we avoid saying things that might offend someone. And that's been the model of the church for the last 30 years probably in trying to reach Gen Xers who are all about the entrepreneurial and all about everything being excellent and fine. And reaching people like that to get people is very effective. The slicker the presentation, but immediately what you have to do is there's some things we just don't want to say, because it might confuse somebody who's new. There are some difficult things that the Bible says that it's like, that just wouldn't be very seeker-friendly. We need to make sure that everything that we're saying is drawing people, not pushing people away. And where I totally agree that we shouldn't be going out of our way to try to push people away, there are some things about the truth that are difficult to hear. And that's why, you know, we might be the only church in the country today that's going to talk about Jesus said, eat my body and drink my blood. People are like, yeah, well, let's just talk about what a great story it was that a bunch of hungry people got fed. The point of the story was not that. I mean, even when we tell the story, we act like these people were starving to death. And Jesus had so much compassion for them. Come on, you can miss a meal. These people lived close by anyhow, and this was not about Jesus saying, you guys are going to die of starvation. You think you're going to die of starvation, but almost every one of us, probably every one of us, could actually miss a meal and we'd be okay. This wasn't about people starving to death. This is about Jesus declaring the truth, and the way that he declared it offended people. And he really didn't mind. When the Apostle Paul spoke with the elders from Ephesus, the church that he had pastored for over 3 years, over in Acts chapter 20, what he told them twice is, I didn't hold anything back from you. I did not just tell you what you wanted to hear. I told you things that most people won't tell you. Because I'm not into just attracting. I'm into the truth. And so, you know, we see Jesus is not the attractional guy. He's not the guy who's like, okay, please make me look really good so people will come. Jesus never got excited when there was a crowd. In this case, he had maybe the biggest crowd he had ever had, and he deliberately said things that caused him to lose that crowd. And that's just Jesus. It lets us know he's not like us. We would love to see a crowd. We think that that's something really, oh, it was mighty. There were so many people. He's like, nah, I don't care. I turned it into 12, and I was good with that. It's also important, if we're going to follow Jesus, to realize that following Jesus is about Jesus. You know, it's not about the stuff that he gives us. Our walk with him has to be about him. Why? Because some of the stuff he gives you may go away. If you're so focused on, I can't believe it, I'm following Jesus, and look at everything he gave me, if you're not careful, if he ends up taking some things away from you, you feel like he has let you down. You feel like, what was the point of following him? What, you know, and I even used to tell people, boy, look at how much stuff I have because of following Jesus. Doesn't that inspire you? It's just about him. It's not about the stuff. The stuff comes, he's good. When you're hanging out with him, sometimes you do get fed. Sometimes you are blessed. But in reality, we have to keep it clear, as Jesus just hammered home, it's about me. I am the bread of life. It is not about the signs. It's not about the miracles. It's not about the bread. It's about me. But probably the center of this entire story to me is that Jesus is trying to teach the disciples what it is to follow him, because they were new and they were trying to follow him. And what he showed them right from the beginning, why did he feed 12,000 or however many people? It was about the disciples. That's why he said he was testing them. He had them serve. He wanted them to understand, following me doesn't mean you get. Following me means you give, you serve. There's always going to be a crowd of people that want to receive from Jesus. There's always going to be a handful of people, and most people say that 90% of the work of the ministry, the work of the church, is done by 10% of the people. That's probably, some people would say 80-20, but there, if you really want to follow him, you have to get to work. You cannot follow Jesus if all you're doing is receiving. If all you're doing is taking it in and listening and you're being a good audience member. Following Jesus means grab a basket, get these people organized, and begin to feed them. And sometimes it means you're going to get leftovers, or sometimes it means you just don't get anything. There is no such thing as being a disciple of Jesus who does not serve him. When he calls us to serve us. And I think sometimes we're shy about expressing that. Now, there are people who are like, well, I just don't know how I could serve. And because they go, I mean, I come to church, I ask, hey, do you guys need any help? Nobody has any great ideas. I go try to volunteer for children's ministry, and they're like, no, you look creepy and you'll scare the kids. You know, and it's like, I don't know, ushering. They don't want me to usher because they don't think I look happy enough. And nobody thinks that I should be the face of the church to be a greeter. So I don't know, what else do I do? There are opportunities to serve everywhere. It's not just about serving church. Just like giving isn't just about giving to the church. Of course, you should serve in the church when you have an opportunity, and you should give to the church regularly. But there are needs all around us in the community. Your service that he calls you to might be taking some food over to your neighbor when they're sick, or getting involved with helping to coach Little League, or volunteering in the schools, and if you can pass a background check, and be able to get involved there. It's like everywhere is service. And Jesus had to teach the disciples that following me means serving others. It does not mean taking. It doesn't mean just receiving, that it's all about how can I serve. We can come up with a million excuses as to why we can't serve. I'm very busy, I can't afford it, I don't have the time. But if you're going to follow Jesus, it is about serving, and you have to find a way to do that, or you aren't a disciple at all. And he was taking them through this whole process in order to teach these 12 guys, who were the only ones that were ultimately left, like, this is how it works. This is how we do life. This is what it means to follow. It means to serve. And then ultimately, he was letting them know, it's about me. I am life. In the same way that the most basic food of bread, that which becomes the plate, it becomes the dessert, it holds everything else together, Jesus is life itself. He doesn't just give us life, he is life. He is the bread of life. He is at the center of our focus if we understand anything at all. Now, there might be people listening or here who always think that, yeah, of course, I'm a Christian. I mean, I have Jesus in my bag of tricks. He fits in with my Sunday if there's nothing really good on TV. I'm a Christian. But do you understand that Jesus doesn't just give you life? He is life. He is the source of life. Being with him, coming to him, is what makes everything else operate in life. Life without Jesus is death. And he's like, I am the bread of life. What you need is me, for me to be the center of everything in your life. And then I give you eternal life. Not I will give you, that someday you'll go to heaven and then you'll somehow magically turn into somebody who actually enjoys being around Jesus. But he gives you life now. He makes your life come alive immediately and in a real way. Now, there are, for all of us, we're humans, and sometimes we forget that he's our life. Sometimes other things become elevated. But he wants us to understand, as he ended up offending a bunch of people to make this point, I'm the bread of life. I am the center of it all. Now, if you're here and, you know, maybe you thought you were kind of a Christian, but you just have to say, I don't know. I'm not serving him. I'm not giving to him. But I can't really say that he's what life is to me. There are a lot of other things that are life. Life is my job. Life is my family. Life is my entertainment or my car, my house, or whatever. Maybe today is the day when you just decide to receive the bread of life, to receive what Jesus is offering, and to go ahead and put him in a place where you are willing to say, I don't have all the answers, but I already know I have no place else to go. No one makes the claims that you make. No one lived the life that you live. No one else ever lived, died, and rose again and says, I love you unconditionally, and I don't want anything from you. I just want you to know that you're accepted by me. Nobody else is going to do that for you. And if you've never taken that step of coming to him and saying, not just, hey, if you have my back, that would be cool, but to come to him and say, I want you to be my life. I want you to be where I orient everything else in relationship to you when I interpret everything that happens around me. I want to be forgiven. I want a fresh start. I want your love. If you haven't done that, do it today. There will be people down here in the front who would love to pray with you so that you can start fresh, so that you can be forgiven. You can finally put that which is your life at the center of your life and realize that whatever happens, you'll always have eternal life. You will always have that relationship with the God who made you. So don't be selfish. Don't be stupid. Don't be stubborn enough to just go, no, I'm good the way I am. Accept eternal life. He is the bread of life. And for many of us, maybe God's just calling us to remember that there's a reason why we began to follow him. And it was because when you follow him, you get to serve. You get to serve alongside him. You get to see miracles. You get to see the fruit of what it is to serve him for real. And so I would encourage all of us to today or this week, get some time aside and just say, are there other things that are becoming the center of my life? Are there other things that I am saying, this is my life, instead of saying, following Jesus, serving him, that's what I want my identity to be. And so it's good. I try to do this regularly, just to take everything in my life and lay it figuratively on an altar and just go, it's just you. I just want you. I want to serve you more effectively. I want you to be the orienting point of my life. Because otherwise, over time, other things creep in and take over. And you get to where you're starting to live more for the extras than you are for the center of life itself. So make sure that you are honest with yourself and with him, and just start fresh to begin to remember that he is life itself. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for being our life. Most of us have responded to you and made you our life. But some of us, like the disciples, maybe need a lesson in serving. Maybe need to reorient ourselves toward exactly what did you call us to do if we are to follow you. Teach us to follow you in service, in our generosity, in the way that we put other people ahead of ourselves. And for the people who've never really got to know you, maybe for some of them this is like totally new, but there's something inside of them that's just telling them, I think this is it. There's nothing else that can be this. I pray that you'll give them the courage, the wisdom, to open their life to you today, to receive forgiveness, to receive your love, and to decide, I need to live differently. I need to live for something more than what I've been living for. Please draw them to yourself right now by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're listening to The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolfe. As we go through the Gospel of John together, there may come a time when you'd like to hear a message again. You can do so rather easily at thebalancedword.com. Or call and request a CD copy at 949-362-7475. By the way, we're making this complete series in John available to you on a thumb drive for a donation of $10 or more. Go through this powerful gospel from start to finish with Pastor Dave. Again, call 949-362-7475 and we can help you with that. Please remember, it's your support that allows us to bring the teaching of God's Word to the radio every day. Thank you for standing with us. Again, we can be reached at 949-362-7475. Or you can make a donation and resource request online at thebalancedword.com. We'd like to invite you to visit us at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. Pastor Dave Rolfe teaches most weekends, and you can hear him teach the Word Sunday morning at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. He always enjoys meeting his listeners, so please say hi after the service. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. With a peek at what's ahead of us next time on The Balanced Word, here again is Pastor Dave.
Some people, when they walk in a room, they can brighten up the room just by walking in. Other people can brighten up a room just by leaving. And that's what people feel like. Well, there's just no point for me to be here. And Jesus is kind of giving us a hint about that, saying, you're thirsty. Not because of what you haven't taken in necessarily, but your real thirst is that you don't feel like your life is making a difference. And so he says, what God the Holy Spirit wants to do is to make you refreshing and productive and a blessing. And you will find out that your thirst will only be quenched when your life means something, when you understand that you are making a difference.
Our series of studies in John continues on the next Balanced Word, as we have another look into chapter 7. We'll see you then. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And